Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm still having a little bit of trouble with my voice. I hope it doesn't leave me tonight. Thank you for understanding the last couple days. I have been pretty much out of commission. I had a bit of a bout with the flu, but my friend and partner ran out yesterday and got me some wonderful gold seal, and I believe it did the trick today. So I am feeling much better, and I want to thank you for all of the nice wishes that I got on Facebook and on the phone. I appreciate that from all of you. I don't very often get sick, but I have a big family, and it seems like somebody's always bringing home something that they'd like to share, and it isn't always, chocolate chip cookies, if you know what I mean. So I want to talk to you tonight about something very serious. Kind of a sad thing happened in our neighborhood this week. So I've written a little something that I want to read, and then we're going to discuss it. There's nothing sadder than the loss of a young person. This week, in our small part of the world, a very standalone, march-to-her-own-drummer young woman lost her life handling her gun. We have known her for 8 or 9 years. She was a proud gay woman who was loved by many, tough on herself, but warm and protective to others. My 20-year-old grandson, who's been her friend for all of those years, told me she had a bigger heart than almost anyone else he knows. She loved her animals and her friends. Life threw her some tough curveballs, but she still played ball. I do fear, however, that those challenges are what led her to what happened this week. Even though I do not feel I have the right nor the complete story of her journey, that I can share it with everyone, I believe she needs to be heard today. I believe what she's saying to all of you young people out there needs to be listened to. Being comfortable with our own lot in life is often a lot easier in someone else's eyes than it is in our own. She dealt the way she learned how, and often it made things more difficult instead of better. If you are walking in shoes that do not seem to fit, please talk to someone, anyone. You do not have to make your way alone. I can promise, even though you may not believe this, people care, and some of them might be standing right beside you. There's a wonderful number that has been put together by all of our local counties, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. It's 211. If you dial 211 any time of the day or the night, somebody will help you with any kind of issue you could be going through. You could be in trouble with mom and dad. You could be having a problem with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You could be being bullied in school and already tried other ideas and none of them worked, and you still feel like there's nobody there to help you and nobody there to stand beside you. You could be without a place to live. You could be without any food, without any clean clothes. 211 was established in Dade County first quite a few years ago, and now it's moving right up the coast. And it's not just for children. It's a 211 number that will help almost anybody that needs the help. So please, so that what happened this week just goes by like another day, instead, let's make it count for something. Let's pay attention to what's going on with ourselves, the people we love, the people we care about. If you know somebody else who you can see is in trouble and has a problem, and you really don't know what to do yourself, that's okay. None of us have all the answers. But please say something to someone. Somebody know what you know. Share it with someone. Worst case scenario, you call the 211 number and see if you can find out what you can do to help this person. What happened to this young woman now was an accident. It was not done with any intent. But again, you know, are there any real accidents? Think about that as well. We do have to be careful, and of course this opens up the gun issue as well. There's lots of things about this horrific thing that happened this week that we can, you know, we can discuss and talk about, but eventually things have to be done about some of these things. And of course, down through the years, many people, many grown men cleaning their rifle have hurt themselves cleaning their own gun. So, you know, it's one of those kind of things. It's a deadly weapon, and it has to be treated respectfully. And I'm not going to take a stand on whether it should be here or not. I don't feel knowledgeable enough, but I do think it needs to be respected. Like anything else that has power, it needs to be respected. So I'm going to open some lines up. I know my Shelley is on the line, and I know she'll have some things to say about this because she, as well as myself, knew this young person. So let's bring Shelley in. Hi, Shel.
Hi, Reen. I did know this individual as well, and it was quite a shock and very awful news to hear. And you know, we knew her for so many years. My whole family knew her. She was actually close to one of my nieces, and unfortunately, she, like you said, she was just very uncomfortable with who she was. She was she didn't like herself, and although other people loved her, it really comes down to us being comfortable with who we are and liking ourselves. It is so important. And you know, people go through all kinds of things in life, even adults, where for some reason they lose affection for themselves, or they're just not comfortable with who they are, and they can't get it from other people. It has to come from within you. So even though she had so many people that loved her, it never made her feel loved because she didn't love herself. And that is a major, major issue. That's where so much of what's happening with the youth come from today, because they're lacking self-love. They're lacking self-esteem. And it just opens the door for getting in with bad influences, turning to drugs or alcohol, which make them feel better for a short time, you know, gives them that sense of euphoria, and then all of a sudden they love themselves, and then as soon as that substance wears off, then they're back to not having that comfort with themselves again, you know.
Well, and then it's also compounded by guilt.
It's also, right, of course.
You know, so then there's more to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, she had times during that where she would, you know, she would seem to be elevating herself and accepting help from people, and then she had times where she would just get into the depths of depression and behave in a way where she would actually not accept help. One thing that I would stress to anybody having issues where they're feeling self-destructive, because she did get to a point where she was, that's why she probably was, you know, playing with a gun. I mean, like you said, there's no accident. Very dangerous thing to play with, a loaded gun. And certain things she did were out of, a sense of just not being comfortable with herself. A lot of her behavior was self-destructive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
you have those tendencies, you have to understand that it's not our normal makeup not to be comfortable with who we are. So if you're experiencing that, understand that it can be changed. It can be changed by actively pursuing something that will help you to understand what an amazing person you are, because every single person is. And everybody has something that they're interested in, something that would make them excited about life. But what happens is when people get so entrenched in sadness or discomfort or pain or the history of where they came from or things that happened to them, they don't see any light inside themselves anymore. And everybody has a light. And they just need to be shown where the switch is so they can flip it back on.
Well, and the other thing, if you're the person that's standing in that circle and you see that, we're talking about somebody who's, you know, not a toddler, not even a preschooler. We're talking about somebody who's already into adulthood. A lot of things have already been etched in pretty deeply. So just being there for that person is maybe all you can do. And maybe that won't be very gratifying either. As I think I've mentioned on the show before, and I know Shelley's heard me say it before, if you are helping someone or giving to someone with your hand out, shame on you, because it's not about that. If you're willing to step up and help somebody, you're doing it because you want to step up and help somebody, not because you think you're going to get something back. So often when you're helping a person that, like I said, a little kid, a two-year-old that you pick up in a play yard who has just bumped their head and is bleeding and you pick them up and clean them up, you get hugged back. You get, you know, that little kid loves you from then on. That's not going to happen with a 17, 18, 19-year-old. It's just not going to happen. But if you, you know, the strength that you get from that internally is your payback. What you get back from being that kind of a person is that, the inner strength that you get from knowing that you did the best that you could do. I do want to make sure that everybody understands that I don't expect them, I know you can't, because I've tried it myself. You can't step up to somebody who's a certain age and think that you're going to say something so profound that you're going to change everything for them. I know that, and I think any adult knows that. The point I'd like to make, though, is if that's you, if the person we're talking about tonight is you, there are people around who would put their hand out to you. I used to tell people all the time, look, I'm not carrying you, but here's my hand. I'll walk with you, but I'm not carrying you.
Right.
Because you can't. You just can't. So, but I guess the reason I wanted to talk about this tonight is because I know how many people are out there feeling that same way. There's thousands of them. And if you're lucky enough to not feel that way, but you have somebody in your circle that you know is there, you know, and if you're the one who does feel that way and you've got people in your circle that you know care about you, for God's sakes, share something with them so that they can be there for you. You know, walking all by yourself is foolishness. Foolishness.
Right.
I also understand, being Irish and somewhat pig-headed, that it's not always easy to ask for help. But a lot of times you don't have to ask. You just have to have, you know, you just have to be accepting, and it comes to you.
Right. I think on some level she almost didn't even feel comfortable accepting help, because she, like I told you, a large part of my family did extend help to her, and she accepted it for a while, and then she even started rejecting that. That's why I was talking to other young people who might be of a mind where they recognize that they don't want to feel the way they feel anymore. You have got to open your mind and your heart to accept the help then once it's put to you. At some point, you have to just pull this courage from deep within yourself and just accept the help and listen to what people say. If people are telling you that they love you and they care about you, you know, allow it to uplift you. Don't feel guilty by it. It's like no matter what was said or done for her, it almost seemed to make her more upset or more angry because she had been abandoned by the people, her original parents. And then when other people tried to step into there and help her, and I'm saying this because I think there might be other young people that are in the same situation.
Absolutely, there is.
Right. And when other people stepped in, like my family, your family, to give her that love, she took it, but she took it inconsistently. There were times that, where she rejected it. And, you know, so it was like, it was very difficult to really try to move her along in a place where she could just get solidly okay. She was always in a precarious situation with her happiness, with her contentment with herself. It would be fleeting. Anytime that it seemed to, like it was almost happening, it would be fleeting, and then she would be back being angry again or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the whole thing. You know, that's everything in a nutshell, is when you are that uncomfortable with who you are, then it is very hard to get rid of all of that armor and let some of the warmth come in and do some things for you, because it will, but you've got to be able to, you know, what I used to say at Hippocrates, quit crossing your arms around here. And they'd say, what do you mean? And I'd say, open up your arms. You're going to be shocked at what will come to you. And many times, that is a big thing for people, you know, letting them in and letting them know, you know, that you're listening to them, incites them to do more for you. But you do have to open up your arms and let them in.
Right.
I don't think, like I said earlier, I don't think there was a quick fix for the person that we're talking about tonight. I never did. I was just glad that so many people were willing to step up and do some of the things that were done for her. And like I said, I was very pleased when I heard my grandson tell me how many people loved her and how many people cared about her, because she just had such a big heart. He said, she could be crazy, Graham, but she has a big heart, you know. And
yeah.
I said, okay, I get that. I think that's not a bad thing at all. I think that's a wonderful thing. But
exactly.
I also believe that in today's society, with everything, all the peer pressure, we talked the other night a little bit about some of our homosexual friends and what they go through and the things that happen to them, especially if they are not received well even by family members, and then what goes on in the outside world. You know, everything we do that changes what everybody else thinks is the norm is tough on us. Really,
mm-hmm. Right.
Even if it's good, if it's bad, if it's different, especially in certain circles, people look at you like you just grew another head. Let's face it. We're not real accepting of different or change. And a lot of times in the past, I'm going to say in the past 20 years, a lot of stuff has changed, and a lot of things are more accepted, and a lot of things people are trying to open their eyes to. Why? Because all of a sudden they realize that's who they really are. And they've been trying to pretend that they weren't.
Right.
You know? So that, I think that's brought a little bit more understanding to the rest of the world, because all of a sudden people have, you know, gotten off that famous river in Egypt called the Nile. So
right.
Once they did that, they realized, you know, that, you know, if that's the way I can be, and that's the way I'm the most comfortable, and that's who I really think I am, that's who I should be. But I guess one of the other things that I think is important, this 211 number that I mentioned earlier tonight, I did some research on this, and this is amazing. I mean, they can help with anything you can even imagine could be happening to you. Abuse that's gone unreported or has been reported and it's still going on. If, say, you're an adult and you've lost your job and you've lost your home, they'll help. If you're a senior citizen and there's no family members left, or maybe you've been a loner all your life and you're out there by yourself, this 211 number has a tremendous resources. Tremendous resources. So please write that number down on next to your phone. They can help you with almost anything. I could not believe all the different categories that they have that they can help you with. And a lot of times, if you just need to make a phone call about someplace else, it's a good place for you to let somebody else know that something else is going on that you don't want to be involved in. You can even do that, I believe.
Wow. Now, is this particular number manned by live operators, or is this like a message center?
They have both. They have both. Yes. If they're overloaded, then you're liable to get a message. But there are operators in all three counties in several different places, and it's really big. It's really,
wow.
Really big. I learned about it the first time about 6 years ago when I went to I was invited to be the keynote speaker at a mock funeral. And to be honest with you, I wasn't really sure what that meant, a mock funeral. And it was way in Miami, and I took five of my grandchildren and me. That was it, on a Saturday afternoon. And it was one of the most amazing things I have ever been at. There was a black preacher who could have been James Brown in a heartbeat. And there was a mock casket up at the podium. And there were six ladies who were in mourning for their teenage sons who had been lost to street violence.
Oh, wow.
And they invited me up. I was the only white woman there, and my grandchildren were the only white kids there. And they welcomed me like no place has ever welcomed me. And we looked at each other, and I said, you know, I'm at a loss for words when I know this is going on in a place where we're all supposed to feel safe, the United States of America, and feel, you know, like we're civilized. And this kind of behavior is not civilized. But they taught me so much about so many things. And after I spoke that day, there were all these booths set up. One group of Miami police officers had big signs up: if you find a gun and turn it into us, we will purchase you the best pair of Nikes or Michael Jordans or whatever you want, whatever store you want them from, we'll get them for you.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
I never heard of that before. That's outrageous.
Yes. Yes, I looked at them and I said, oh my God, what a smart idea. And he says, most kids don't even want the stupid gun. But if I give them something, if they turn it in, and their kicks are one of the most important things to them when they're anywhere from 13 to 19. I mean, that's
absolutely
all they care about. They don't care even what the rest of the outfit looks like, as long as the kicks are jamming, you know, they're in seventh heaven.
That's right. That's
right. So they did that, and they had other programs, and that's when I first learned about 211. And then it was smaller, but it's really, really grown. And there are places, you know, if God forbid something has happened to you, you've been attacked, perhaps you've been worse than attacked, there's places that you can call them, and they'll tell you places to go that are even close by to where you live, because a lot of these places are kind of incognito.
Yeah.
You know, so that people feel safe there, and you can be sent there and be taken care of. If God forbid you've been assaulted badly or something, they can even help you with those kind of things. So,
like a safe house type of situation?
Yes, yes, like a safe house and treatment for after a bad attack like that. So it's, you know, I also met a couple that were doing different things on weekends with the rest of their family and some church members to raise money for anybody who the breadwinner in the family had cancer and they couldn't pay their FP&L bill. And they do benefits on the weekends and pay their FP&L bill. You know, it's things like this that make me know that if I keep talking and we keep letting people know how wonderful people can be, it is what's going to save us. It's really what's going to save us. It's what's going to make everything eventually be what it set out to be, more like the Garden of Eden than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right, exactly, exactly. And there are so many of these grassroots organizations that pop up because people just have a basic need to be of assistance and to stop suffering they see around them. You know, their level of compassion is through the roof. They have big hearts, and they literally need to make a difference. It's their passion in life. It's what they feel their purpose is. And more people are starting to look in that direction and being called and being compelled to do things that are in service to others. I think there's more people today feeling like they want to be in service to other people than ever before, and I think it's becoming a well-needed trend. It's something that the more people that get involved in it, the more people get positively inspired to say, hey, well, maybe I should be doing something like that. And again, what I was talking about the other day is you can positively inspire people by your action. You go to one of these expos that you're talking about, and you see these things, and then it inspires you to want to be involved, or it inspires you to keep going if you're already involved in doing something. It just lets you know there's other people that are like-minded, and it kind of gives you a little fuel to keep, you know, your own engine going and to keep, fueling your efforts as well.
Well, that's for sure. It's just like I remember thinking that as a kid, you know, the old adage, my one grandmother used it frequently, you know, misery loves company. And I remember saying to her, I think I was only like 11 or 12, and I said, does that mean happiness loves company too, Graham? And she said, I never thought about it. And I said, well, doesn't that make sense? I said, if you're laughing, you know, and having a good time and the people around you, they start laughing and everything. And my grandmother looked at me and she says, yeah, you're probably right. She says, but it's a more popular saying, she says to me, that misery loves company. I remember thinking to myself, Graham, I think that has something to do with you. I'm not sure, but I think maybe you're the one that likes that.
That's funny.
But she, go ahead.
Let me ask one more question about the 211. Now, you said you were doing some research with it.
Yep.
Is it something where there's a website that people could go
to? Yes. Oh, absolutely. You get on the website and it blows you away. And, of course, young people today, as a matter of fact, somebody that I spoke to this week said to me, if the kids know they can get on it on the Internet rather than call, I'm glad you said that to me, Shelley, because she said that's probably what you ought to let them know. And, yes, you can. You can just put in 211 on Google or Chrome or anything, any engine you want, and you'll find it really quickly. Really quickly.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, because
and it shows all the different counties as well.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, because I'm thinking that, like, they even have a lot of resources there for them to look up and different agencies or contacts and things like that. And then they'd have all the information basically at their fingertips.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, that's why it's grown so much. Of course, you know, if we'd have tried to do something like that 20 years ago, even though there were certainly computers and what have you, there wasn't the social networking that there is today by a long shot.
Right.
So today it's a lot easier. You know, I've been corresponding for quite some time with a woman in Ireland. And I can't really remember whether I mentioned her little girl. She's on my Facebook page. I think I did mention this a few nights ago. Her daughter somebody decided she Nicola wasn't at home, and they put lice shampoo on the baby's head. And the baby had it on her hair, and she bent over to blow out a candle. And the candle flame leapt to her hair and ignited and burnt her face really badly. And she and I have been talking since way back when. And, of course, it's hard because, you know, she's asleep and I'm awake and vice versa. But we still, because of Facebook, you know, we know a bit about each other. And we've been talking lately, and I'm going to try to get her on the show. By this time of night, it's late at night for her, and she's going to bed. But we talked about maybe talking on Skype and letting her share what she's trying to have done. Now, the company hasn't done anything to help her, and the baby's, Jody's face is scarred pretty badly. Although she's still absolutely beautiful, she doesn't look distorted or anything, but Nicola's got pictures on the website, who, of course, remind me a lot of my Mike.
Of course, right.
But she has this, if you get a chance, everybody that's listening, on my Facebook page, there's a picture of her, like, before she got burnt, showing you exactly what a strong little tyke she is, you know, and she's just adorable. And right now, a doctor has offered to have Nicola and the girls come and see him and see if there's something he can do with stem cell. And so I'm going to be so interested to finding out, you know, how she makes out with this. But I would love it if I could get more people to be supportive like everybody was with Mikey. And I mean, I explained to her that they did harvest Mike's skin cells when they cleaned him from the first cleanup, when they first took the skin that was gone off. They took some of the live cells and harvested it and started growing his own skin. And they were doing that if the cadaver skin didn't work, and they needed to use it on him. They didn't need to. But I thought it was amazing that we could do that. You know, I'd been hearing, of course, working at Hippocrates, Brian always talked about stem cell. Everybody was always asking about it, but I'm not medical enough to quite get it. And this one doctor took the time to explain it to me. And he said, it's like working with the thinnest tissue paper, you know, like Kleenex tissue paper, single ply that's wet. That's how, he says it's really, really, really sensitive and very fragile. But you lay it over their skin, and because it's their cells, it grows
right,
in the perfect
right.
scenario. So, and as I said, you know, she has a pretty bad scar on her forehead, and then one on her, it's her right cheek. But she's still absolutely beautiful, and because she's so young, of course, there's lots of time for them to work on it. And, of course, I've told her mom to use magnesium oil and things like that, and they helped us with Mikey with the stretching and things like that
right.
so that the skin doesn't
right.
get uncomfortable.
Aww.
But I'm hoping that she's going to be on the show, but that's another one of those scenarios where if we can get the word out, they'll get some help, I hope. You know,
right.
people will step up to the plate and want to help them. So but this little girl, when you see her face, I said to her mother, I said, you know, I've been reading people my whole life. That little face is going to stop clocks, not to worry. I said, you see the strength, you see the sense of humor, you see everything in that little face. She's just, you know.
And how old is this little girl?
She's like, I think she's like 9 now, but she was, you know, this was a while back. She was little when it first happened. And you know, it's healed now, but it's scarred.
Right, right. Well, and as she grows, you know, that scar tissue doesn't grow. Does she have to go through the surgery?
Well, they're not saying that, and of course they never said that about Mikey either. It just stretches, but that's the whole idea of keeping it pliable, You know, that's why
right.
the magnesium oil and of course, a lot of the stuff that we have, and because she's in Ireland, I haven't talked to her about this yet. I'm hoping we can have a conversation on the phone, and because I'll get some information from Brian, because Brian knows people in Ireland, and see if we can't help
sure.
with some of that kind of stuff, maybe even some of the infrared and stuff like that to help her. So.
Sure.
But again, that's another opportunity for all of us together and do the things that are right, and that's what we're trying to do here. So.
Yes. Any more feedback on the movie, by the way?
I tried to get a hold of I won't say his name, the principal at one of the schools today, and he'd already left the building, and I left a message the other day. Of course, he and I have talked before. He's probably... not really avoiding me, but kind of, you know, like, oh, God, what does she want now? But on the 27th, they're going to have Bullion Day, and I really, really want to at least have the teachers see the movie. If he doesn't want to show it to the kids, I until they see it first, I respect that for sure. And maybe see if we can get that done. And now... I see that the producers of Bully are putting out these packages that will help schools and YMCAs and YWCAs and kids' places and everything to help pass out the packets that's got information about bullying, if you are being bullied, if you aren't being bullied, who is a bully, who isn't a bully, kind of some of the things that we talked about last week when we talked about the fact that the traditional bully is not the only one we're worried about anymore.
Right,
you know,
right.
Bullies come in all shapes and sizes. So that's one of the things that, that we talked about and one of the things I think that's in this packet. And I thought I'd find out from Gary if I can get these into the school, if they'll send one pack to each school and see if they want to make them a part. You know, every school likes to do things that are fundraisers for their school so that they have more art supplies and stuff like that. So if we could do something like that, that would be awesome.
So is this a pack that they're selling, or is this a pack they're making available, or that they're donating if a school asks for it?
Well, I think right now that they'd like to sell it. I mean, they're selling the movie. The movie's $10. I mean, where can you buy a $10 movie? So I don't think, I should have gotten more information about this. I read this a couple days ago, and I wanted to call Gary and talk to him about it, and I haven't done that because I've been not suffering in silence. I've been suffering, but not in silence.
I don't mean.
but I thought that I could find out from him and then ask him if I talked a couple of these schools into, you know, showing the movie, if the producers would like to at least give them one pack to have a look at and see if they'd like to do something with it. But it would make sense to me that they need to make some money, Shell. You know, you can't live on love. And I have to share something very funny with you tonight. What a kick we all get out of AJ. For those of you who don't know, AJ is my 6-year-old grandson who lives here with me and his mom and dad and his brother and a few other people. And he's a pistol. He's always saying things to me that make me giggle. And I have lots of wonderful stories about things that have happened with him. So tonight he comes in and says to me, I want to start collecting things. And I said, like what? And he goes, well, what do you think? And I said, well, like books. First he said, I want to collect all the Monster Inc. movies. And I said, I think there's only two. And he goes, yeah, that wouldn't be a very big collection. I said, no, it wouldn't be a very big collection. So he's sitting there with his little fingers wrapped around his chin like he's 93, you know, and says to me, he says, well, you know, what about, I'm too little for swords, right? And I said, yeah, you're too little for swords. And I said, Grandma collects things. What do I collect? and he looks at me and he goes, love?
Aww.
And I said, yes, I do collect that. That's true. And I said, but I collect a couple other things besides that. And he goes, I know, music boxes. And I said, yes, but I loved his first answer. I thought that was pretty cute. I said, you're
adorable.
Right. I said, you can collect love with me if you want to.
Oh,
so,
that's
yeah.
Adorable. He really comes up with some precious things. I told you, he reminds me of my nephew, Cody. He's, he's 3 years old, going on 30, and it's like, it's amazing when they're that young. And we had talked about this in one of the other nights, is that if people could listen to children, very, very little children, teenagers or whatever,
mm-hmm.
when they're noticing the world around them, they see it with such different eyes than we do after our long days of work and the hustle and bustle and all the responsibilities. And sometimes we forget to look at things in such a refreshing way. And
mm-hmm.
people really need to listen to the little ones, more, because they can kind of ground you again. It can be an amazing experience if you take the time to really listen to what they're saying to you, because they can
mm-hmm.
be very insightful in their very youthful way.
Well, I think out of the mouths of babes, people have said
yep.
it for years, their truth and their honesty is like, you look at them and what are you going to say? But, you're absolutely right. I wish it was that simple.
Yep.
So,
they haven't developed the filter yet. They think it, they say it.
That's it. And they're not afraid of who's going to pass judgment on them.
Right.
That's another thing that shuts us up pretty quick.
Yep.
That's one of those kind of things that, makes us all feel like, I don't want anybody to think this about me and I don't want anybody to think that about me. So we really monitor very closely the comments that we make, which, of course,
mm-hmm.
is good in some cases. There's a lot of people
in
I'd like
cases,
to monitor so. Everything that comes out of their mouths, but...
That's true. Yeah.
But I think that the honesty and the sincerity and everything that comes from a child is
right.
like the best thing in the world, just the best thing in the world. And I think that we need more of it. We definitely need more of it. So I think if we keep this door open, if there's anybody out there, don't forget the 211 number. I really, really want to stress that. And you can get on the website. You can just put in 211 on any search engine, and they'll give you all of them. They'll give you the Dade, the Broward, the West Palm. There's all kinds of places that you can, and there's all kinds of sites you can look at to find out more about everything that they've got going on. So it'll be...
And this is a national? I mean, this is in other states other than Florida? You said this is all over the country?
No. Not to my knowledge. It's in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Now, it's very possible that other places have got help numbers, but it's not a part of the 211.
I got you. Okay. All right. Maybe other states will pick up on this, like 411 and 911. I mean, no matter what state you go to, it is what it is.
Uh-huh.
It may become something national. Maybe they're testing it in Florida first.
Well, like I said, it was several years. It was at least 3 years ago that I did the mock funeral, and those guys. It was pretty fresh in Dade County then. As a matter of fact, the lady that I talked to, the director of Neighbors for Neighbors, who will be on the show soon and talk about some of the wonderful things Neighbors for Neighbors does, she was the one who suggested that I look them up. And I said, I knew that they were in Dade and Broward, but she says, I don't think they're in West Palm yet. So I was pleasantly surprised when I went in and found out they indeed are in West Palm.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
Is.
I think it might have started as something else here in West Palm, maybe for senior citizens. And then they opened up the 211 number to, you know, have a bigger variety of help and a larger audience that they can assist.
That's excellent.
I think the other thing, too, that, you know, that a lot of people are today when I peruse the news in the afternoons before I get on and talk, I see if anything else is going on. Of course, there was a lot of talk about more guns and more shootings and things like that. And a young boy was stopped here in Florida with a gun and told the arresting officer that he was so glad that they caught him because he fully intended to shoot somebody.
Oh, wow.
It's still very, very, very scary out there. And again, imagine, you're not there and I'm not there, but let's put it this way. Imagine that you're one of those people who really don't have anybody. And maybe even mom and dad are gone for one reason or another, and you're like 17 and you're just trying to get out of school, and maybe you're living in a group home or a foster home or something along those lines, and you see all of this going on around you, and it's scary to you, and you're torn between, you know, the devil and the angel that sits on everybody's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And you're debating over which way will serve you best and which way you should go, whether you should meet with the guy on the corner who can make you $100 in 10 minutes or you should go to Burger King and fill out an application, right? So here you are, and you're making these decisions. And I think we all know that unless, you know, you've got somebody to support you, the easiest decision is going to be the most money with the least amount of effort, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the way of the world. So these are the kind of kids that are out there right now that I'm hoping and hoping and hoping will start paying attention to what's available for them out there so that they don't feel like they're all on their own. I've met some wonderful teachers. I met a teacher in Miami who was actually recycling kids' old clothes that would get left in the gym lockers. His wife would wash them and dry them and clean them up. And if a kid came in and he could tell he hadn't showered in this long or that long, he made sure that child got a shower.
Aww.
He made sure that that child had clean clothes to wear. I'm going to let somebody in. I think this might be Gary. Hang on.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello, my name is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Doing good. You know, I just typed in that 211 on the internet, and it is cross-country.
It is cross-country. Okay, see? So I'm so glad somebody else is paying attention. Because when I looked, all I saw was Broward and Dade and West Palm, but that's what I was looking for, of course, you know.
Yes, I saw Arizona, Arkansas, California,
down in Southern
Illinois, and so it's over.
That's wonderful.
Nevada, so there's that. There's the 211 out there. Make for Illinois is the United Way.
Yeah, and the United Way is a wonderful organization as well, but I don't think it's as I don't think it has as big a variety as a lot of the other ones. John, are you on your computer? Yes, you are, aren't you?
Yes.
Can you turn down your sound on your computer?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
It's sound.
Yeah, because mine does the same thing. Then we don't get all that feedback from all of us.
Right. And then I, you know, here in my town, another service is our township offers a lot of services for the people in our township for help and counseling, and they're there for everything. And then they're also the Omni House here in Lake Zurich, which does is hooked up to the YMCA, and they really help people in crisis and they're for protection.
Wow. And where do you live again, John?
I'm 45 minutes from downtown Chicago, Illinois, and an hour south of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Ah. Are you snowed in?
About 9 p.m., we're supposed to have our snowstorm coming in. I know in Kansas City, they have 2 feet of snow. North of us is snowing so far. They're saying we're going to probably get 6 to 10 inches here.
Oh, my word. Oh.
Oh.
And I'm sitting here in my office, and the AC's not on in here today, and I am so warm. I should be ashamed of myself for even thinking about it, right? My goodness.
I mean, Monday,
I remember those days.
Yeah, Monday it was 55 degrees. Tuesday it was 15. Yesterday we got up to 25.
Oh.
Today we got up to 30.
Oh, honey. Gosh. Do you enjoy the cold weather?
No.
So why are you there?
All my relatives are up here. I mean, if it was for me, I mean, I will move just like that. I mean, I've been down to Florida several times, and several times I've been down there for over a month, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I love Florida. All my kids were born in Ithaca, New York. I was born in Endicott, New York. All my brothers and sisters were born in upstate New York, except she was born there too. I had one sister who passed away, but she was a baby. I was thinking she was born in Florida, but she wasn't. She was born up there as well. But she was born in Florida. She was born in Florida, but all the rest of us were born in upstate New York, and I wouldn't live anywhere else. I really wouldn't. I absolutely love Florida.
I just fell in love with being down in Florida and the areas I've been to, and I mentioned to my parents, I said, this is the place I would like to live in. It's nice, and it's it's close to my other relatives, cousins, and everything, and it's only it's about a 20-hour drive from my house down to New Smyrna Beach.
I've been to New Smyrna Beach quite a few times. It's beautiful there. Is that as far down south as you come, John?
I've been on the Anita coast, then I've been down to Orlando, and then on the Gulf Coast, I've been down to Sanibel Island.
Sanibel Island?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty, too. I used to go there when I was a kid. It's all beautiful, and of course, we have our bugs, and we have our coral snakes, and we have our hurricanes, but I don't think that's a bad ratio. We have lots of sun, we have the ocean, we have palm trees, we have fruit everywhere. So,
yes.
It can really, really, really be a beautiful place to live, and we were just talking about that yesterday. I had all my grandchildren, they were off Monday and Tuesday. This is probably what put me under the weather. I supervised everybody cleaning the yard.
Yes.
And, so that was like, I come out and I see my 17-year-old, he's got the rake, and I still see all these little things, you know. Grandma, nobody else notices all those little things. I said, nobody else is watching you but me. So I see all those little things. Oh, my God. They all think I'm – and Shelley, you can tell John, I'm not a perfectionist, not by a long shot. But it's like, you know, kids. And then I look over, and here's one of them who's supposed to be cleaning the lawn. He's putting a new rope swing in one of the trees. And I said, what are you doing? Oh, we need a rope swing over here. I said, No, not right now. We don't need a rope swing. And then the six-year-old is building a ramp for the bicycle. And I said, no. Everybody's got to clean. So finally got the yard straightened up, but it took like 6 hours to get it done. But it was such a gorgeous day outside, just the perfect day for that. It was like 76 degrees. The sun was out, but not in your face, and the breeze was blowing. It was just gorgeous.
That's great. Good.
So you'll just have to move yourself down here, John.
Oh, yes. And now my cousin's down there setting signal down here and everything. So one of these days I will. And I know up here it's always in the spring and in the fall is when we do our yard cleaning because we can't do no yard cleaning in the winter time.
You can't do anything in the winter time.
No.
I know, I'm Catholic, and my grandmother and all my aunts lived up the hill from the church, and I remember as a little girl watching them slide down that hill practically to get into church at night to light candles for everybody, and I'd think to myself, won't God be okay if you stay out of the snow and just light a candle in the house? My grandmother would get so mad at me, and she'd say, Maureen, and I'd say, Graham, really, God doesn't want you to break your leg going down that hill.
Yeah.
But they loved it too, and they never left. I think they all vacationed occasionally in Florida, but I still have a huge part of my family that lives in upstate New York. So when family's there, that's what makes the difference, I think.
Right. And like my parents and my sister this and her daughter lives here in Illinois, and then my mom's family is out on the West Coast and then down in the eastern, southern part of this, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad's brother's one daughter lives in Tampa, and then a couple of cousins on my dad's side are in Tampa, in Orlando, in New Smyrna, and all over.
Ah, so you have a huge family.
Yes, it's mostly all cousins.
Mhm.
And I also have family in Europe. I visit.
That in Europe as well, huh?
Yes.
Wow, that's lucky. Well, John, I think I introduced you to Shelley one of the first times you called the first week that we started the show. But John and I have talked a little bit, and I would love to have a night with just you and me and John so John could share some of his story. Would you be all right with that sometime soon, John?
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay. Because I think... Okay, so let's do that. How about tomorrow night? Friday nights are tough for some people, and maybe we'll catch some people home, and maybe you'll change somebody's life, John.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. So call right at 7, and I'll bring you in right away, and we'll just let you talk. We'll ask some questions, but, you know, we won't delve too deep unless you want to talk about it. It will be your words, and I think you may, you know, honey, you may save somebody's life.
Right.
You know, and for sure you'll change a few. You could even save one or two. Okay?
Yes.
So grateful that you're willing to do that. That will be really, really wonderful. So it's almost time for us to close up tonight because we're almost out of minutes. But so we will talk to you tomorrow at 7. And and I look so forward to that. And I so appreciate your calling tonight. And thank you, my darling Shelley. And thank you for the medicine you brought me today. I think it made me feel better after my first 14 drops of Gold Seal. Did I lose you, Shell? I did. Are you there? Did I get you back?
I know. My antenna is, like, really not cooperating with me tonight. I've lost, like, 3 times.
Okay. Well, John is going to join us tomorrow night at 7, and he's going to tell his story. And I'm so looking forward to people hearing it. And it will, like I just told him, it will definitely change some lives and may save a couple. So it will be wonderful.
Okay,
all right.
Excellent.
So good night to both of you. I love you and thank you. And from my heart to yours, this is Renee. Good night.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, Renee. Good night, all.
Yeah.